Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
My next guest was both the youngest and the first Black African writer to win a Booker Prize for his novel The Famished Road in 1991. But that's just one of many garlands which have decorated his remarkable career. In 2019, his book Astonishing the Gods was named one of the BBC's 100 novels that shaped our world. His poem Grenfell Tower has been viewed more than 6 million times on Facebook. And earlier this year, he was knighted for his contribution to literature. His latest book, Tiger Work, is a personal appeal to humanity to take better care of the planet. Poet, novelist, essayist, and playwright Sir Ben Okri joins me now. Welcome to the programme, Ben.
Mariana, it's a real pleasure. I never want you to feel lonely when I'm around.
Well, it's very good of you to take the time out to make sure I don't. Let's start with the title, Tiger Work. What does it mean?
Well, it's an allusion, first of all, to a very famous English poem by Blake, which everybody grew up singing.
Tiger, burning bright. Tiger,
exactly. And also, the tiger is one of the most haunted creatures. It's almost haunted to extinction. And it is a creature of fierceness and beauty. And it's because of those two things that it has been haunted. And I felt that the work of climate change activism, climate activism, environmentalism, was and remains tiger work. It's the work of fierceness and beauty of spirit. It's a work that requires great dedication and discipline and love at the same time. So I feel that the work that we have to do right now is the work of tigers.
Tiger Work, your book, imagines a world 20,000 years, I think, after a catastrophe that's wiped out humanity. And I have to say that read in that context is a really sobering experience, because the sort of dismal naivety and lack of any sense of what's actually happening around us becomes extremely highlighted in that context, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Sometimes we can't see our present very clearly. We're too bound up in it. And also a bit maybe fearful of things that we don't want to face. But when you put it in a context of an extinction that has happened and it's 20,000 years in the future, then it gives one a telescope chance to actually look at us as we are now and maybe begin to see how we can be different. Sometimes context, sometimes perspective, is a very powerful tool in literature, and I think also in something like the climate struggle.
I'm interested as well in how prepared to shock you are, and I feel like there's a sense from this book that you feel that we have to be woken from our stupor. And it's interesting that, you know, the publication of the book coincides with this new BBC series Earth, which also uses the terror factor to an extent to spur environmental change. I think Chris Packham, the presenter, is saying fear is a motivating emotion. Do you think that's the case? Because for years we've talked about climate warnings, but warnings are sort of before something happens. And now we're way further down that road, aren't we?
Yes. I mean, we've used fear in the past. There's a poem in the book, because it's a book that is a suite of poems, essays, short stories, letters, interviews, just about every literary form I could think of to express the strength of my feeling. And in the book, there's a poem that says, you know, we have thrown at people distressing facts, numbers, temperatures, loss of species. You know, I've said fear doesn't work, guilt doesn't work, and I said that I think that we ought to try love. Fear is very powerful when you have time. When it is upon you, I think we need a new kind of energy. We need a new kind of power, a new kind of awakening. The thing about fear is that fear makes you act hastily, you act jumpily. But what we need now is an intelligent, a deeply intelligent, deeply felt, long-term, almost a permanent transformation in our consciousness. We don't just want to deal with this problem and sort it so that we now get to zero and everything is fine. What we want to do is to transform us human beings so that we never get to this place again. It's that kind of deep understanding. So we have very little time, and yet we have to achieve so much in reality and in our consciousness. What a time to be alive, Mariella.
Indeed, you bring love into the picture there, and you became a father later in life. You've got a youngish daughter. How has she or her presence in your life reinvigorated your desire for a better world? I mean, has her presence reinvigorated your need to see a future?
Yeah, it's that need has always been there, but it got magnified when my daughter, whose name is roughly similar to yours, actually, she's Mirabella.
It was in homage, was it not, Ben? Maybe not.
Just to make sure you're not too lonely. No, her presence did magnify and made it more present. There's something about becoming a parent when everything that you fear becomes more immediate. Before that, there was something far away about everything. There was time for one to come around dealing with it. But now I suddenly see her, and her future is present to me, and I want her to have a future. Also, she was born practically an eco-warrior, sort of had a stick, walking down the canal, pulling plastic out of the water. Became a very, passionate composter. Loves walking rather than taking any other form of transport. She it's as if she's born into this generation that feels the urgency of where we are.
Isn't it true as well that, you know, and this is the real shame and irony, that all children are born little eco-warriors, and then it's sort of drummed out of them as the years progress in a way?
Possibly, but I don't know. I think it's more so now, because she wasn't long in the world when she became aware of plastic. She wasn't long in the world when she became aware of just this talk of climate change. I think children pick up what is most saturated in the atmosphere. And this is part of what I'm trying to do, which is to increase that saturation. I think there's two kinds of ways of being an activist. One is to be out there in the world doing things that are awkward and difficult and annoying to some people, but draws attention to the cause. And another is to just amplify the saturation of the atmosphere around this subject so that you cannot avoid it. And so that we have to deal with it both as individuals and as governments and corporations.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What do you think about climate activism today? I mean, there is such a big debate at the moment, isn't there, about protests like Just Stop Oil. I mean, last week I was particularly struck by Keir Starmer, you know, advocating for children to raise their voices and to be given the skills to speak out and speak up. And I thought that perhaps the clever thing would have been to do when he was interrupted by those protesters to let them speak for 2 minutes, say, okay, you wanted to, you know, and it feels like, you know, on the one hand, we're looking for things to change and we want young people to be animated, but actually when it comes to something that they feel this passionately about, we don't like the methods. What do you think of the methods?
Yeah, well, it's always been like that, Mariella. You know, when people really want to change the world, they have to use methods that's uncomfortable. And that may even be illegal and may even be outlawed. I'm thinking of the suffragettes. I'm thinking of the freedom marches in Alabama. You know, I'm thinking of, the protests in South Africa. It's difficult when you have to change your situation. And those are situations which are very important. But this one we're dealing with now is worldwide, is global, is terminal. It involves the whole of the human race. How can one be polite about such a huge, terrifyingly difficult subject? There's no way to sort of manage and navigate and contain what needs to be done. I think what needs to be done by climate protesters and activists will come out of their intelligent understanding and their passionate feeling about the change that needs to be done and the methods, peaceful methods, cunning methods, by which to help draw attention to it and bring about change. It's just this is a whole new different ballgame, Mariella. So I understand that the methods get stranger and weirder. I completely understand. There's no gentle way to do it because, you know, people are not being given the megaphone in the right context for people to spread this message. So they use the messages they can, so long as they don't go around killing people. They're not a terrorist organization. You know, I understand the evolution of these methods. Absolutely. Mm. But I am using the technique of consciousness, of words, of the power and the shock of that literature can bring. And I also support them in the streets. So I'm complimentary to whatever work they're doing out there, so long as they're not going around killing people.
How much do you think, I know, you know, the idea of inconveniencing people in the face of a major global catastrophe is an interesting one to unpick. But how much do you think that fiction can do to change things, to change people's minds? Because obviously preaching to the converted, you know, and that's one of the problems, I suppose, with climate activism, as we've just been discussing it, because if it just makes people feel resentful, and actually stops them from getting involved and feeling a part of that movement, then that's not a good thing. And I suppose with fiction, the issue is that you pick up a book because you want to read it. And if you know it's a book about, you know, climate change and the environment and you know, the battle to change all of that, then you're only going to pick it up, aren't you, if you're interested in that subject and possibly if you already agree with the author?
Not necessarily, because books have a sideways way of leaking. You know, I can think of the works of Virginia Woolf, A Room of One's Own. I can think of Upton Sinclair's famous book about the meat factory. I can think of, you know, Richard Wright's Native Son. I can think of, you know, Peter Abraham's famous novel set during the time of apartheid. These are works that, yes, you know what they're about, but they have their way of leaking. They speak to the converted, but the converted also need to be passionately intensified. They also need to, you know, there's different levels of being converted. There's people who say, yes, well, I agree with your cause, and they do nothing. Those people need to be sort of woken up to, I agree with your cause, and I am going to vote and make sure that whatever government comes into power supports these causes. So there's different level of charging the converted as well as speaking to the unconverted. But the main thing, I think, is the saturation of the atmosphere so that it now becomes a subject that you cannot dance around anymore. And as for inconveniencing, Mariella, I think that goes hand in hand with protest movements. I think it goes hand in hand with trying to bring about legitimate change in a world where most of us don't really want to bring about this change, which would be for our own good anyway, the sustenance and continuation of life and all the species on this extraordinarily beautiful planet.
And you've chosen to use all kinds of different forms of writing in your book, and it's something that you've done throughout your 40-year career. I wonder if you think, people do like to put a writer or any, we like to put everybody into boxes. This is what they do. Do you think that the fact that you've always kept a very diverse range of writing as the norm for you, that in a way has been detrimental in terms of global success, Ben?
Oh, I don't know about, I don't know. I'm not interested so much in global success. I'm interested in, the beauty, the power, the range, the depth, the mastery, the charge of the work that I'm doing. Everything else after that just follows, everything follows from that. You do the work and people come to it when they're ready to come to it. But, this diversity of forms that you talk about is just... I'm like water, if this thing needs to be rain, I rain it down. If this thing needs to be a river, I river it. If it needs to be an ice block, I ice block it. I follow the intrinsic need of the form itself for what it is that one really wants to say. I find that the strongest, the most cunning, the most intelligent, the most deceptive, the most indirect way of saying these things that I want to say. And, a new way of saying something demands a new form. And anyway, if you write in one form only, that too is its own limitation. If you only write poetry, everybody might not read it. If you only write novels, there might be people who love short stories and poems. So everything comes with its downside and its blessings.
In your late 20s, you mentioned diversity there in terms of form, but in your late 20s, you lived in Notting Hill and you were part of an incredibly rich and diverse group of writers who were writing at the time, people like Salman Rushdie and Hanif Qureshi, but also like Ian McEwan and others. And that same group of writers is now calling. I know you didn't go to the creative writing course in East Anglia, but many of them did pop in there. And they've been very animated in the last week or so about University of East Anglia's cuts to the Faculty of Arts and Humanities. Do you see it as a bit of a disaster for writing in this country? Do you think it's an example of how writing perhaps isn't valued?
Oh, yes. Well, that is a shame that they're having to do that. Honestly, I mean, we have enough difficulties as it is than to go cutting arts and culture faculties at universities. Is writing valued? Well, it is. I mean, in this culture, certainly in the English language around the world, writing is, there's a double thing about it. On the one hand, writing is valued. Great writing is valued. If you enter the canon and you enter the language, you're deeply valued and used as part of the weapon and wisdom of culture itself. But living writers, maybe not so much. I know other cultures that value their writers a whole heap more. But... I don't know. I think it's part of our job as writers to continuously change the way in which we are perceived, to see the deep value of our work. So, is writing valued? Well, we'll just have to keep writing to make sure, writing powerfully, writing cunningly to make sure that it is.
Well, that's exactly what you've done. Cunning like a tiger with Tiger Work, Ben Okri. That was the Booker Prize winning poet and novelist Ben Okri. His latest book, Tiger Work, is out now. Always a pleasure to talk to him. And you can hear many more of my big interviews with the likes of Ben on the Mariella Meets podcast. All fascinating people reflecting on their lives and their careers, as well as the issues of today, including the likes of Alex James, Mika, Jack Whitehall, and many, many more. Plenty women on there too. I don't know why we've got none in our list today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.